VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, Dan Novak tells us about an all-virtual K-pop girl band. Later, Brian Lin presents this week's science report. We close the show with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Dan Novak.
Less than 2 months ago, the new South Korean girl group, MAVE, released its first music video. It now has nearly 20 million views on YouTube. At first look, MAVE looks like any other K-pop band. But it only exists virtually. Its four members, Sue, Zena, Tyra, and Marty, live in the digital world, also called the metaverse. The group's songs, dances, talks, and even their hair are created by web designers and artificial intelligence. When I first saw MAVE, it was a little confusing to tell whether they were humans or virtual characters, said Han Soo-min, a 19-year-old in Seoul. Because I use metaverse platforms with my friends often, I feel like I could become their fan. MAVE's almost human-like characters provide an early look at how the metaverse is likely to look in the coming years. It also represents a push by the technology company Kakao Corporation to become a strong force in entertainment. Apart from creating MAVE, Kakao made a $960 million offer recently to buy SM Entertainment. SM has a record company that is home to several popular K-pop groups. Kakao has said earlier that it has invested more than $9 million in Metaverse Entertainment, a group it formed with gaming group Netmarble to create MAVE. The idea of a virtual band is not new in South Korea. In 1998, the virtual singer Adam was created. 20 years later, there was the K-pop girl group KEDA, based on characters from the video game League of Legends. Neither was popular. But South Korean technology has made progress since then in creating virtual characters. MAVE is more natural-looking thanks to new tools and artificial intelligence. Developers are able to create facial expressions and small details in things like hair, viewers say. With the aid of an AI voice creator, its members can speak four languages: Korean, English, French, and Bahasa. But they cannot speak to answer any questions. They must use words prepared by humans. The group's voices in its first song, Pandora, and the dance in the music video were created by human performers. Experts say the COVID-19 pandemic aided the growth of such virtual characters. Many K-pop companies moved online during lockdowns to keep fans happy. Lee Jong-im is a pop culture critic who teaches at Seoul National University. He said fans got used to online performances and have become more accepting of the idea that there can be both virtual and real K-pop singers. Virtual groups like MAVE are making news for being new and different. But questions remain over whether they can be just as popular as regular bands with their large numbers of fans. Lee Gyu-taeg is an associate professor of cultural studies at George Mason University, Korea. He said that unless virtual groups have unpredictability, they will become something close to video technology, not K-pop. Yet Maeve's creators and entertainment industry officials are hopeful. With so many comments received from all over the world, I've realized that viewers do want something new, and that they are rather open-minded, said Ro Shi-young. He is the head producer of a weekly music show that showed Maeve's performance twice. The metaverse era is coming. I'm Dan Novak.
Scientists say examinations of old images provide new evidence that the planet Venus is volcanically active. The finding is based on radar images captured more than 30 years ago by the U.S. space agency NASA's Magellan spacecraft. NASA calls Magellan one of the agency's most successful deep space missions. The spacecraft became the first to capture images of the whole surface of Venus during a 5-year mission that began in 1989. It also made other discoveries about the planet. Scientists reported the new findings about Venus in a study in the publication Science. The area of Venus the team studied had long been thought to be volcanically active, but the latest study suggests the new examination of images provided the first direct evidence of more recent volcanic activity on the planet. The researchers looked at images that Magellan captured in the 1990s. The images showed volcanic openings on the surface of Venus that appeared to change shape and size in less than a year, the team reported. It is important for scientists to study active volcanoes in an effort to understand more about what is happening below the planet's surface, NASA said in a statement. Volcanic activity can greatly affect how a planet grows and develops over time. Robert Herrick is a research professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He is also a leader of a team preparing for an upcoming NASA mission to Venus. The mission, involving an orbiter called Veritas, is expected to launch within 10 years. NASA says the orbiter will study Venus from the surface to core in an effort to understand this rocky planet about the same size as Earth. Herrick said in a statement that NASA's planned Veritas mission is what led him to look for recent volcanic activity based on the old Magellan images from the 1990s. The changes the team discovered were found in an area of Venus called Alta Regio. The area sits near the planet's equator and contains two of the planet's largest volcanoes. The researchers said radar images taken by the Magellan spacecraft showed that a volcanic vent on the surface about 1.6 kilometers wide had expanded and changed shape over an 8-month period in 1991. The vent sits on Mont Mons, the planet's highest volcano. An image from February 1991 showed the vent as a circular formation covering about 2.6 square kilometers. An October 1991 image showed the vent with an irregular shape covering about 3.9 square kilometers. Herrick said the images provide new evidence of volcanic changes on the planet's surface. He said they clearly demonstrate that the volcanic vent got larger and looks to have changed from a circular shape to nearly flat. Herrick added that examinations of the images suggest a large amount of magma entered an area underneath the vent in a rocky collapse. The result, he said, was the formation of a wide, irregular area likely created by volcanic activity. Herrick said the area still has an active lava lake in it when the second image is taken. Scott Hensley is a senior research scientist specializing in radar sensing technology at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. He told the Reuters news agency it is possible the vent collapse was not linked to active volcanism. But he thinks that in this case, volcanic activity is the best explanation for the changes seen in the old images of Venus's surface. The new findings were made possible because of progress made in recent years in imaging examination technologies. The data suggests there are volcanic eruptions on Venus about every few months. That is similar to some volcanoes here on Earth in places like Hawaii, the Canary Islands, and Iceland, Herrick said. I'm Brian Lynn.
You just heard this week's science report presented by Brian Lynn. Brian joins me now to talk more about the story. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ashley. Glad to be here.
This week's report was about a new study suggesting Venus is volcanically active. And it was interesting to note that the new findings were based on very old images that were recently examined with modern methods and technology. What can you tell us about that process?
The researchers involved in this study said they used images captured by NASA's Magellan spacecraft back in the 1990s. And at that time, Magellan was able to map the whole surface of Venus. So the team used the old images to create computer models to be able to better see changes on the surface of Venus.
How does such a modeling operation work?
So the researchers said these kinds of operations usually involve the creation of a simulated model, in this case, what the surface of Venus looks like. Then they use the models to run computer operations and look for differences between the simulated conditions and the actual image observations of the planet.
And what were the results of the modeling operation?
In this case, the researchers said the modeling operation only matched the imagery a few times. After discovering the matches, though, they felt very sure that volcanic activity was responsible for creating them. And, of course, the scientists said such a method does not fully prove the existence of volcanic activity on Venus. So they plan to do even more examinations to confirm the latest findings. But at this point, they seemed very sure of that.
Okay. Well, thanks again for joining me today on the program, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Doug Johnson and Shirley Griffith discuss the presidential election of 1920 and the man who won, Warren Harding.
The presidential election of 1920 was a turning point in American politics. It ended a period of social reforms at home and an active foreign policy. It began a period of conservative thinking in both the political and social life of the nation. American reporter H.L. Mencken described the national feeling this way. The majority of Americans are tired of idealism. They want capitalism, openly and without apology.
President Woodrow Wilson had suffered a stroke during his second term. He was very sick. No one expected him to be a candidate again. Yet he refused to announce that he would not run for a third term. Woodrow Wilson had done much during his administration. He helped pass important laws dealing with trade, banking, and the rights of workers. He led the nation through the bloody World War in Europe. He tried, but failed, to have the United States join the new international organization, the League of Nations. The American people honored Wilson for his intelligence and ideas, but they were tired of his policies of social change, and they did not want to be involved in international problems anymore.
The leaders of President Wilson's Democratic Party understood the feelings of the people. They knew they had little chance of winning the presidential election if they nominated a candidate of change. Delegates to the Democratic nominating convention voted 44 times before agreeing on a candidate. They chose the governor of the state of Ohio, James Cox. The Republican Party also had a difficult time at its nominating convention. Four men wanted to be president. The delegates voted six times. None of the men gained enough support, so several party leaders met in private. They agreed that only one man, a compromise candidate, could win the support of the convention. He was a senator from the state of Ohio, Warren Harding. The delegates voted 10 more times before choosing Harding as their candidate for president. For vice president, they chose Calvin Coolidge of Massachusetts.
Warren Harding had owned a newspaper in Ohio. People advised him to enter politics because he was such a good public speaker. During the campaign, he promised lower taxes, less immigration, and more aid to farmers. He called for normalcy, a new period of peace and quiet with few changes. That is what the voters wanted to hear in 1920. Warren Harding won the election with 68% of the popular vote. In his first act as president, he invited people to visit the White House. He permitted them to walk in the garden. The act was a sign. The government seemed to be returning to the people.
Warren Harding is remembered mostly for two events. One was a successful international conference. The other was a shameful national incident. After World War I, Britain, Japan, and the United States expanded their navies. They built bigger and better ships. Many members of the United States Congress worried about the cost. They also worried about increased political tension in Asia. They asked President Harding to organize a conference to discuss these issues.
The conference was held in Washington in November 1921. President Harding invited representatives from the major naval powers of the time, Britain, Japan, France, and Italy. He also invited representatives from countries with interests in Asia, China, Portugal, Belgium, and the Netherlands. He did not invite the new Soviet leaders in Russia. Mr. Harding's Secretary of State, Charles Evans Hughes, spoke. He offered the conference a detailed plan to reduce the size of the world's major navies. He proposed that the world's strongest nations should stop building warships for 10 years. He also proposed that Britain, Japan, and the United States should destroy some ships to make their navies smaller immediately.
Delegates to the conference debated the plan for 3 months. Japan demanded and won the right to have more ships. But the final agreement was very close to the one proposed by Secretary Hughes. The conference was not a complete success. For example, it did not prevent countries from building some kinds of ships. These ships would prove important in the Second World War. Also, it did not create ways to protect China and the islands in the South Pacific Ocean from Japanese expansion. Yet the Naval Treaty of 1921 was the first in which the world's strongest countries agreed to reduce the size of their armed forces. Most people thought it was a good treaty.
The second thing for which President Harding is remembered is the Teapot Dome scandal. It involved the misuse of underground oil owned by the federal government. Warren Harding was an honest man, but he did not have a strong mind of his own. He was easily influenced, and he often accepted bad advice. He explained the problem with these words. I listen to one side, and they seem right. Then I listen to the other side, and they seem just as right. I know that somewhere there is a man who knows the truth, but I do not know where to find him.
President Harding appointed several men of great ability to his cabinet. They included Secretary of State Charles Evans Hughes, Treasury Secretary Andrew Mellon, and Commerce Secretary Herbert Hoover. However, some of his appointments were dishonest men. One was Interior Secretary Albert Fall. He was responsible for the Teapot Dome scandal. Secretary Fall gave a private company the right to take oil from land owned by the federal government. In return, the company gave him money and cattle. The oil was not supposed to be taken from the ground. It was supposed to be saved for the United States Navy to use in an emergency. Private oil companies and many politicians opposed this policy. They said saving the oil was unnecessary.
Albert Fall opposed the policy when he was a member of the Senate. When he became Interior Secretary, his department took control of the lands containing the underground oil. Then he permitted private companies to use the land for a period of time. During that time, the companies could take out the oil. Some of the oil was in the western state of Wyoming. The rock mass on the surface looked like a container for making tea. So the area was called Teapot Dome. When the Senate uncovered Secretary Fall's wrongdoing, the press quickly called the incident the Teapot Dome Scandal. The Senate investigation led to several court cases which lasted throughout the 1920s. Secretary Fall was found guilty of misusing his government position. He was sentenced to prison for 1 year.
President Harding did not live to see the end of the Teapot Dome incident. In the summer of 1923, he made a political trip to Alaska and western states. On the way home, he became sick while in San Francisco. He died of a heart attack. Vice President Calvin Coolidge was in the northeastern state of Vermont when he heard that President Harding had died. Coolidge's father was a local court official there. He gave the oath of office to his son. That is how Calvin Coolidge became the 30th President of the United States.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.